Good morning. If you would, turn your Bibles to Numbers chapter 16, and we're going to camp there for a little bit. I'm going to share a lesson that I heard a couple months ago when I was in Branson and attended the Branson Church of Christ there. Hopefully, I do it justice. I know I won't do it as well as he did, but there's a couple points that really pricked my heart and made me stop and examine myself, and I just wanted to share them with you in hopes that you would give them some consideration. In Numbers, we're going to read a story about Moses. In Exodus 3, verses 10 and the following verses, and we all know the story where God called Moses and obviously set him and Aaron up to be the leaders of the Israelites. "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." You know, God set Moses and Aaron. God anointed them the leaders of the Israelites to bring them out of the land of Egypt to get them to the promised land. In Malachi 3:6, it says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." And I think that's important to what we're going to talk about this morning. And I titled this God's Leaders, and we're going to look at a situation that happened with Moses and Aaron here in Numbers chapter 16. In verse 1, "Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, the son of Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab and On, the son of Peleth, the son of Reuben, took man. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princesses of the assembly, famous in the congregation and men of renown." We see here that Korah has went out and he's chose the most renowned people, the famous people of the children of Israelite, 250 of them that everybody is going to know to be on his side. And it says, "And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." So here we see that Korah is confronting God's leaders, telling them that you're doing too much. You have set yourselves up. You think you're more holy than any of us. Verse 4, "And when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. And he spoke unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him who have chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take your censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them, and before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi." And here we see Moses is telling Korah and the 250 men that God will determine the answer to that. And as we read on through the chapter, for the sake of time, in verse 16, it says, "And Moses said unto Korah, Be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow, and take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also, and Aaron, and each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer, and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron." Verse 19, "And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation." Korah had went and gathered the whole congregation. Now, probably over a million people to confront Moses and Aaron, as we read here. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the congregation, saying, Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went into Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray ye, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they get up from the tabernacle of Korah and Dathan and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up, with all that pertain unto them, and they go down quickly into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Verse 31. And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. As we read through this, it's plain that God was upset with Korah. It's plain that they had provoked him. And it's plain that God made it clear that he was standing on the side of the leaders that he had chosen. And because of their disobedience and provoking God, the earth opened up and they were all swallowed up within the earth. Verse 33, And they and all that pertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, and they said, Let the earth swallow us up also. And there came about a fire from the Lord, and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallow. And he goes on and talks, and then another thing that stood out to me as I was studying this, after the people here just witnessed God's power, God had opened up the earth and swallowed these people up and then closed the earth back. And then we go on to verse 41, it says, But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, Ye have killed the people of the Lord. I can't imagine, you know, and sometimes I sit and think, you know, what were these people thinking? But then I think if we take it to today, sometimes we do things and sometimes it's just following the wrong people. And so we need to be careful and make sure that we're doing those things that God wants us to do. And as we read on through the chapter there, God was obviously upset. He sent a plague. And I find one thing here that's kind of ironic, that these people had come out and confronted Moses and Aaron, and God could have destroyed them, but yet Moses and Aaron did something to save their lives. And because if you read through here that Aaron took a censer and was able to stop the plague, and then in verse 49 it says, Now they that died in the plague were 14,700. Besides them that died about the matter of Korah. I think this chapter really sets the tone that God takes seriously those who want to rebel against his leaders. Malachi 3:6, God doesn't change. And I think the other point that's interesting, it doesn't matter our statue. We can be famous. We can be the most famous movie star there is. We can make the most money playing professional sports. It isn't going to matter if we do something that's contrary to God's word. So I want to fast forward then. Has God chosen leaders for our people today? Acts 20:17, we read, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." And then down in verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." So from those two verses, we can see that men were chosen by the Holy Ghost to be God's leaders in the church. Acts 14:23, "And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they had believed." Titus 1:5, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed unto thee." The verses following, and also the verses in 1 Timothy 3, set up those qualifications for the elders. And we've heard several sermons on that. We just went through the elder selection process ourselves. These qualifications that are here that we use to determine who is going to be an elder, these qualifications came from God. If we truthfully and honestly picked men who meet these qualifications, then they were selected as elders just like Moses and Aaron. God has chosen them through the Holy Spirit, through the Word, through those qualifications to be the leaders of our church. And we need to recognize the importance that the elders have in the church. When those processes go on, we need to take it seriously, because those men need to meet those qualifications so that the church can function the way that God would have it to function. So what authority do the elders have? And we're going to put a little different spin on this. Obviously, the elders have no authority over anything that is doctrine that is in the Bible. They can't change it. They can't negate it. They can't overrule it. You may not like it, but God said it, and that settles it. The elders' role is to ensure that everyone in this congregation is obeying God's word. That's the only thing they can do about authority when it comes to God's word, is to ensure that we're all following what the Bible says and we're doing what it should do. So what about matters of judgment and opinion? 1 Corinthians 1:10, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." I guess I've been forgetting to click this, haven't I? In order for us to come together, and for 1 Corinthians 14:40, it says, "Let all things be done decently in order." Someone has to be able to decide that, to set a judgment on how our worship is going to go, on how the times are going to go. If not, you could be sitting here singing a song while somebody else is up here partaking of the Lord's Supper. That makes no sense. It has to be done indecently in order. So it only makes sense that the elders, the leaders of our church, make that judgment. Our job, our role in this is answered in Hebrews 13:17. It says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. For they watch over your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:10, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very, very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Our role is to submit. Obviously, we're not going to submit to something that's within doctrine that is against God's word. I'm not talking about that scenario. Our role is to not be someone that thinks the elders have too much power, or I don't like this decision, or I disagree with this. Our role is to not act like that. Our role is to not go through the church trying to find 250 men that agree with me and confront them. Our role is to submit. The Bible's plain about, from the lesson of Korah and what happened to him and the people back then when they chose to do something like that. We need to make sure we're following God's word. We need to make sure we're doing the right thing when it comes to our elders within the church. We need to make sure we're doing our best to support what they're doing here, because Hebrews 13 says they have to give an account. So we just need to remember that. Submission is something that we do voluntarily. If our submission to God is one of those of, oh, well, okay, I guess I have to do that. Do we truly get what God is giving us when we submit to Him? If our submission in our marriages, in Colossians 3:18, where the wives are told to submit to their husbands, if they do that with a bad attitude and they grumble about everything, have they truly submitted? Have we truly submitted if we grumble every time we have to come to worship service? What kind of Christian would we be? Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. I think it's something we all need to think about. Our submission to the role of the elders and the role that they have here in God's church. And we need to make sure that it is in accordance with God's word. Hebrews 10:28, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Korah brought 250 men of renown, famous men, and later over 1 million people to confront God's leaders because they weren't happy. That didn't make it right. Just because the majority of the people are standing on one side doesn't mean they're right. We need to be careful that our submission to God's leaders, our elders, is done according to the Word of God. Our role is not together the 250 most important men in the congregation that agree with us, and confront them because we disagree on something, a judgment decision that they have made. God has not changed. We need to submit to God's leaders. I want to be clear that I'm not saying that when it comes to matter of doctrine. The elders can't change any of that. I think our role, if you're not happy, is not to go in and find people, is to go sit down with the elders and talk to them and study with them. And search the scriptures and see if the answer is there. It's a serious matter to oppose God's leaders, and God made that plain in Numbers 16. So the question I have for you, are you in submission? Has your submission been to the elders is the way the Bible instructs it to be? For the non-Christians, have you submitted to God's plan of salvation? Have you submitted to God's word? Have you submitted to that plan that He laid out to save you? It's something we both need to think about. If there's something that we can do, if we can help you in any way, won't you come as together? We stand and say.